I want to talk to you today about spiritual success in 2025. Spiritual success. And by the way, can it really be 2025? Holy shamoles. Like when I was a kid, that was Jetson stuff, right? Like that was just way in the future. I grew up on Space 1999. Anybody remember that? Oh yeah, we got a few fans. Space, when far in the future, we imagined that in 1999 we would have colonies living on the moon, and here we are, a quarter of a century after that, right? Like, wow. 2025. It was. Can you believe it was 5 years ago that the COVID-19 mess happened, right? 5 years ago. Crazy. I want my flying car, though. It's not okay that we're at 2025 and I don't have a flying car yet. So none of us knows what 2025 holds. Right? Obviously. None of us knows what this year holds. I mean, there could be great disaster. There could be great blessing, right? We don't know what 2025 holds. There is much that we cannot control. But we can prepare ourselves so that no matter what happens in 2025, no matter what comes at us, we're ready for anything, right? We can prepare ourselves so that we are spiritually successful in 2025. At the threshold of a new year, as we approach New Year's Eve on Tuesday night, and we turn over to a new year on Wednesday at midnight, at the threshold of a new year, we have a cultural expectation that we take stock of our lives, right? That we tend to do this in a lot of different areas in our lives. We take stock financially, right? It's for most of us, it's our fiscal year end, the end of our financial year. And so we take stock. Have I gained or lost financially in the last year? Where are my investments at, if I have such a thing? How is my job working out? What is my debt level? Do I have enough life insurance? Do I need to make a budget? Do I need to tweak my budget? You know, we think about those things at the threshold of a new year. We take stock of our health. How am I eating? Not just at Christmas. But how am I eating? Did I gain weight? Did I lose muscle mass? Do I need to step up my exercise? You would not believe how packed gyms are for the first 2 weeks of a new year. And then they empty out. Right? But we take stock of our health, the start of a new year. What about my relationships? Do I need to work on certain relationships? Do I need to cut some relationships out of my life? You know, what about my hobbies? Do I want to take up a new hobby? What do I want to do this year? How many books do I want to read? We set goals, 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 right? Because we know that without goals, we have no direction to guide us. Where am I going? I need to set some goals. But do we give our spiritual lives the same kind of attention? Right? Do we honestly take stock of our lives spiritually? And if we don't examine and take stock of our spiritual lives, we will just drift through the next year. Again, right? We will just drift through the next year Without evaluation, without goals, without intentionality, we will not advance spiritually. Our key verse this morning, and we're going to come back to it in a couple minutes, but I'll just throw it out there now. Our key verse, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men, or some translations say, be courageous. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. There's a lot packed into that little verse, isn't there? We're going to walk through each of those phrases this morning. But I don't know if this is helpful or not, but I want to give you a little glimpse into a pastor's heart. Because as I approach 2025, the burden on my heart is not just for my spiritual growth and advancement and things that I want to see happen in me in 2025, and believe me, there's a list, right? And for my family. But you are all a burden I carry. I care about each one of you, and I want to see you advance in your spiritual journey in 2025. It matters to me. That's why I want to take some time this morning to talk to you about taking stock, setting some goals, and saying, where do I want to be at December 29, 2025? Right? Here are some verses from Paul that he wrote to some of the people that he pastored and led that resonate with my heart today. Galatians 4, verse 19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, and I know Paul's on thin ice there, ladies, I know it. And I know I'm on thin ice identifying with him. In the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone because I am perplexed about you. Right, so Paul is expressing that there's this deep groaning burden in his spirit for the people that he leads, as if he's giving birth to their maturity, their spiritual vitality in prayer, in earnestness as he leads them. Colossians 1, he writes to a different followers of Christ in another city where he started a church. He says, he, Christ, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Paul's desire was that one day when he stands before Christ, he would be able to present the people that he has led and say, see how they've grown? I'm so proud of them. Look how far they've come. They're mature. He goes on, to this end, to be able to do that, to be able to present people mature before Christ, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. That's why Christian leaders, at least if they've got a bone of healthy spirituality in them, that's why they do what they do. I don't say this in any way to disparage this church or this board. They take good care of me. but you can't pay me enough to make it financially worth it for me to do what I do and carry the burdens that I carry. I don't do it for money. I do it for Jesus, and I do it for the sake of your growth and your advancement and your spiritual journey. And I think Paul would say the same thing. 1 Corinthians 3. So this is setting up. If you remember, our key verse that we're looking at this morning is at the end. It's in the last chapter of the letter to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians. Okay, it's at the end of the letter. Well, here's what Paul is saying near the beginning of the letter. Here's why he wrote what he wrote at the end, because he says some things at the beginning of the letter that concerned him about the people that he was leading in Corinth. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, in other words, grown-ups, as spiritual mature people, right? I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able yet to receive it. Indeed, even now, you are still not yet able, for you are still fleshly. So Paul writes to this church in Corinth, and he chastises them, he corrects them, because there's a lot of childishness, a lot of spiritual infantility, if that's a word. I don't know if it is. I made it up. It is now. And so he needs to give them some instructions at the end of the letter to say, all right, it's time to shift gears. It's time to do something different. If you keep doing what you've always been doing, you're going to keep getting what you've always been getting, right? So it's time to do something different. And so he gives them these instructions at the end of the letter that again say, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. So let's walk through that this morning. Be on your guard. I don't know if you believe this or not, but what we believe doesn't change reality. So I'm going to say it anyways. There is an enemy who wants to see you destroyed in 2025. There is an enemy of your soul that wants to see you destroyed in 2025. He has laid traps and snares for you and wants you to fall for his tricks, to be intimidated by his lies, so that you are discouraged, distracted, discredited, and if possible, completely train wrecked in 2025. That's his goal for your life. And he is hard at work. His minions, and no, they're not cute little yellow munchkins. They are evil, and they hate you. First Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We can't look at the evil that has been unleashed on the world in the last 100 years, the evil of the Second World War, not just warfare, not just people killing each other, which is bad enough, but the evil. The things that they're finding in Syria, mass graves, where a president killed tens of thousands of his own people and dumped them in mass graves. The evil in this world. And say there's not a personal evil, a personal devil at work, deceiving and destroying lives. Right? So, in 2025, how can we be on guard? What does that look like? How do we be on guard? First of all, know the truth so you can recognize the lies. Know the truth so you can recognize the lies. The enemy wants to lie and intimidate. That is his game, lying. And if we know the truth, then the lies stand out right away. Right? So know the truth. We need to stay in the Word of God. Do you have a plan to be in the Word in 2025? If not, I want to suggest to you, you need a plan. I mean a literal, like reading plan, but a plan of some kind. Say, how am I going to engage with the Scriptures and keep them front and center in my life so that the truth is in my mind so that I recognize the lies of the enemy? Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, above all else, that sounds pretty important, right? Above all else, all the Proverbs is full of wisdom. But if he's going to say, above of all the wisdom in this book, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Right? So what are you letting in? What is influencing you? Guard your heart. How do you be on guard? Guard the influences that come into your life and into your mind and into your heart. Decide ahead of time. Here's another one. Decide ahead of time how you will respond to trouble and temptation. When we just live moment to moment, and many of us do, we don't have goals, we don't have intentionality, we just take every day as it comes, and we just figure it out as we go along, right? Our life isn't on mission, our life isn't on purpose, we're just kind of going with the flow. And when we live aimlessly, letting life happen to us, we are vulnerable. So we don't have a destination anywhere will do, right? If we're not going somewhere, any road is fine. But if we live on mission, if we live with purpose, if we live with focus, my life is about serving Jesus. My life is about serving people. My life is about family. It's about this, like a focused purpose. There's a reason. So a person who just goes with the flow of what comes in their life is not training themselves in righteousness. There is a reason that the higher up you go in a sport, the more a person practices, not less. You would think that once you hit a certain level, you could just coast, right? Because I've mastered the sport. I've mastered hockey. I've mastered whatever. And you could just kind of coast and be at the top. But rather, A pro athlete wants to continually train so that their muscle memory is honed every day, every week, for any and all contingencies, so that when they're in the game, they don't need to think about what to do when something comes their way, because they've trained their body to literally react in the right way in every situation. And that's what it means to discipline ourselves spiritually, to be focused, to train, so that when things come our way, we don't get knocked off kilter for 3 months before we find our way back to equilibrium. But we're ready. No matter what comes our way, we're ready because we've trained ourselves, right? Last one I'll say about guard, be on your guard, is guard against negativity. Titus 3, verses 9 to 11 says this, "But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law." Getting into fine point arguments about verses of Scripture. Because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. Okay? So it is amazing how quickly we get pulled into negativity. Whether it's gossip, divisive talk, whatever it is, we get sucked into negativity. That's why Paul says, think on things that are pure and noble and good and true, right? Where we focus matters. So guard against negativity. Okay, secondly, stand firm in the faith. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace." Everybody say perfect peace. Does that sound good? Anybody want perfect peace? Right? You will keep in perfect peace. Not something I got to try and, you know, create peace or find my way back. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. So let me ask you a weird question. Is your faith in your faith, or is your faith in God? If you feel like you have to have an answer for every question or should never go through a time of testing, then you will be rocked every time you hit a storm. You're putting your faith, in your ability to hold your life together by how strongly you believe. But if your faith is in God, you can keep your eyes on Him even when you don't understand what's happening. Even when you don't understand what you're going through, your faith isn't in your faith, your faith is in Him. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verse 13, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Sometimes it's just about being the last man or woman standing. Just keep standing. Stand firm in the faith. Keep the Word of God in your heart and your heart in Christ, and he will make you immovable. Amen? Thirdly, man up. Women, don't get offended, because you can man up too. Because this word that's in the Greek in this passage, it's translated oftentimes as be courageous, but its root is the literal meaning of the phrase. You know how sometimes we have phrases that don't really mean what they mean, right? But the literal meaning of it is literally man up. That's what it means, right? Be courageous. So three ups that I want to say. Get up, show up, and grow up. Get up, show up, and grow up. First of all, don't let setbacks become an excuse to give up. If you get knocked on your keister by life, by the enemy, by another person, get up. Get up. Don't lay there saying, oh, but somebody knocked me over. Life is hard. I know it's hard. Get up. Right? We don't have time to lay on the ground. There's too much life to live and there's too much to do. Get up, right? Show up. You have callings and responsibilities from God. If you are a follower of Christ, there are things that he has called you to be and to do. And yes, it's scary. And yes, it's hard. And yes, you might fail. But it's not about you. God has called you, God has trusted you, and it is God who will empower and enable you if you trust him. Woody Allen famously said, 90% of success, sorry about that, that didn't come out right, 90% of success is just showing up. 90% of success is just showing up. We'll bleep that out. In the kingdom, I would like to suggest to you it's a whole lot closer to 100%. Because God just asks us to show up. He will empower us to do the things that he's called us to do. That's what he does. So we need to stop being paralyzed by my inabilities, our inabilities, because it's God's ability that will get you through and bring the victory, not yours, his. And so we need to show up and trust him. And thirdly, we need to grow up. It is time to stop whining about who did what to you. In 2025. Okay, take 5 minutes to process your disappointment and your pain, but don't you dare park by it and stay there, because you will be paralyzed in your journey in life and your journey in faith. If you stay there, there is too much at stake and too much to do to wallow in the past. And if we're still rehearsing pain over what someone said to you a month ago, or what they did or they didn't do 5 years ago, then we're not behaving like a spiritual grown-up. I'm not talking about the big, horrific, traumatic things. We've got some mental health workers, a number of them in the room. Relax, right? I'm not saying that we don't need healing from things that we've experienced. But many of us are way too touchy about way too small of things, and we are bent out of shape about ridiculous things, and we need to grow up. It's time to grow up and get at what God has called us to. Be strong. Strength comes from action. How do you be strong? How do you become strong? How do you do that? By doing. We activate our faith by doing what God says, not just thinking about it, studying it, mulling it over, but doing it. Francis Chan, great Bible teacher, Francis Chan talks about giving his daughter instructions to clean her room. Stealing this from him, so I'm giving him credit. Giving his daughter instructions to clean her room. And he says that she will show him respect and love if she does what he asked her to do. If he asks her the next day, "Did you clean your room?" And she says, "Well, I got some friends together and we studied what you said. We talked about what it might mean, tried to understand it in the Greek." Right? Bible studies are important, don't get me wrong at all. Bible studies are important. But sometimes they can be an excuse to not simply do what the Bible says instead of talking about it. Be doers of the word, James says, not just hearers, and so be deceived. We can be deceived by listening to sermon after sermon and Bible study after Bible study and not doing what we're learning. Right? So in 2025, set some goals to get out of your comfort zone and do the word, not just study it, not just talk about it, because to do it will build your spiritual muscle. Because the spiritual principles that you're learning will not any longer be theory, but they will be lived experience. And that is what strengthens us. Be strong. Lastly, do everything in love, Paul says. As you look back on 2024, can we honestly say that we were motivated primarily in 2024 by love? When we are not intentionally walking in love, it is so easy for other motivations to take over in our hearts. Greed. Personal advantage, controlling others, unforgiveness and bitterness, judgmentalism, lust, fear, resentment. The list goes on and on of potential other motivations that creep into our hearts when we are not intentionally walking in love. Take a moment and look at these verses from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I mean, we all know how that other person should be built up, right? But is it according to their needs? that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Behaving in unloving ways towards other people. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit. That's what breaks the heart of God, right? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. So He loves you. Follow His example and walk in the way of love. Brothers and sisters, the path we are called to walk in this life is the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How do I walk in the way of love? Laying down my life for others around me. Daily. Pastor, that's a tall order. You seriously want me to live like that? Jesus does. He said, come follow me. And then He went to the cross. So how can you and I be more intentional in 2025 to be like Christ in the way that we love? How can we surrender our selfish motivations to walk more consistently in the way of love? Because, folks, the path to success spiritually in 2025 is to be on our guard, to stand firm in the faith, to man up, walk in courage, to be strong, and to do everything in love. Let's stand. I know that that was all a little strong today, but it's because of my pastor heart that I want all of us to look back at the end of 2025 and say, wow, I didn't know I could grow that much. I didn't know that there was more than I thought there was to living for Christ. I didn't know that God believed in me. I believe in Him, but I didn't know He believed in me. That He would trust me with something and then empower me to do it. I want to pray for you. Bless you as you get ready to go. Father, I thank You for every person in this room, every person watching online. I thank You for Your amazing heart for each one. Thank You for Your faithfulness, God. You carried us through this year. You were faithful when we were faithless, because you cannot deny yourself. Thank you. God, as we look ahead to 2025 and all that is in store, you know all of it and we know none of it. So God, we pray right now that you would strengthen us in our innermost being, that you would enable us as we get intentional, as we take some time in the next few days to take stock, to set some goals, to put some things in place in our life so that we are strengthened and equipped to move into this year with faith and courage and hope. God, I pray for every person that you would touch every life. God, in 2025, we would grow and not diminish. We would advance and not retreat. We would leap over trouble with joy because you are our strength. We would cast off everything that entangles and trips us up, and we would run with perseverance the race that you have marked out for us. May your blessing, your strength, your peace, your joy be upon us today. And as we move into the year ahead, in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor, for that challenge this morning. Certainly take it to heart. Amen. Amen. We're opening the altars for anyone who would like to come and spend some time with the Lord. Perhaps you would like someone to pray for you, maybe for healing, direction, whatever it may be. There are people here that care for you as well and would like to pray for you. God bless you if you have to go at this time. Maybe you'd just like to come and just spend some time with Jesus. If you would like to fellowship, we would just ask you to fellowship in the foyer. We're just making this area a place of prayer. God bless you. Have yourselves a great day.